Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. It is November 30th, 2012. Power's out. I'm going to read a poem. I've been back from Jerusalem, Israel for a week now. Last Friday, that would be the 23rd of November, I flew out. I had a prophetic poem that was given to me right as Shabbat was falling. I was downtown waiting outside for my ride to the airport. I had an 11 p.m. flight. Sackcloth and ashes, red as dead. November 13th, 2012. There was a solar eclipse. The Hamas Gazans began missile shelling Israel. Full-scale war breaks out in the south of Israel as seething conflict goes from covert to overt. November 14th. November 22nd, 2012. Vision. As I drifted into a sleep of white skulls lined up looking at me, with one skull in the front, I was startled awake. I was shocked. The eighth day war of November 2012 came and went. An uneasy truth is declared November 21st, 2012. November 23rd, 2012, in the morning. In the morning, the light was eerie, strange. The rain came, the darkness grew. Eerie morning, pink light stained. Stained through the rain, waiting for the right time. Then the time came, the light changed. The moon in the late afternoon sky, full, waxing full in 5 days, November 28th, 2012. Blood red is dead. 65 years since the decree went forth to rebuild Israel. The plan for Iran to rearm and reload to take the city by storm, that would be Jerusalem. Gaza, Egypt's spear point is released, unleashed through deceit by treaty annulled. The atmosphere is eerie as Shabbat siren wails through the Jerusalem streets. The stores are closed. The rain blows the late autumn leaves through the rain. The moon blows by the storm clouds, hears the rain, blames the moon. Eerie twilight, pink and orange, colored by chemical warheads in this storm. Make no mistake, I am coming soon. All that I prophesied is coming to pass, and more is at the door. Sackcloth and ashes, blood turned the moon. Sackcloth and ashes clothed the sun. Sodom and Egypt, two witnesses came. Come. They hated me without cause. They hated me without cause. They hated me without cause. In the fullness of the book, I come. As lightning breaks forth from the storm from east to west, I come. Sackcloth and ashes. Uneasy truce. There is no peace. The tray is filled. Blood is spilled. Sackcloth and ashes. S&M. Sodom and Mitzrayim. Sadomasochism. Either way, hell's gates open. For only a short closing prevailing until the unveiling. Then mourning for an only son. Pierced they will see him, the one. I see 5-3 at 8, the gate date. Not late, birthright. Not late, but right on time. The line, red is dead. Drawn to the end of time, lo, I'm with you always. Even to the end of rage. Even to the end of the age. And I flew back home and went through the humiliation of Homeland Security. And the flight was interesting. There were engineers and people who were going to what did he say? It was exploratory submarine explorations. For natural resources and deposits like oil and gas off the Mediterranean. Anyway, these were some of the conversations that I overheard of the professionals that were coming out in and out of Israel through the airport. And on the flight, I came home. It was hard. It was tight. It was difficult. I have this impending sense of dread as we approach November 28th. There's a full, now let me just preface this with November 13th, there was a full solar eclipse. A solar eclipse traditionally means God's judging the nations. And that day, evening, is when the 8th day war broke out in Israel. November 28th is a prenumbral lunar eclipse. This is on the eve, and it would be on Jerusalem time, Israeli time, of November 29th, which marks the anniversary, the 63rd anniversary of the partition of Israel lands out of Arab. Lunar eclipse traditionally means God's dealing with Israel. And these cataclysmic signs in the heavens, as it says in Joel. Let's read Joel right now. I'm going to just read selected portions of Joel. Joel 2 discusses the day of the Lord and a call to repentance and the restoration of the land, which is Israel. And in that process, and I urge you to get out your Bibles and read this for yourself. There's something about the learning experience. We learn through visual, auditory, tactile, experiential. Jesus often spoke to the crowds and said, "Hear what the Spirit of the Lord says." He didn't say read. Of course, a lot of people weren't literate at his time. Nevertheless, there's something about reading that processes it into our heart. Let's look at the outpouring of the Spirit, though. In Joel chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." By the way, the name of the operation, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces operation into Gaza, was called Pillar of Smoke, or Cloud of Pillar of the Smoke, clouds. Some people call it Pillar of Defense, but I would suggests that perhaps it was taken from this passage. "The sun shall be turned into darkness," that's a solar eclipse, "and the moon into blood," that's the lunar eclipse, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." I believe this will be played out. And I believe that in a small part, I saw a preview of the coming attraction. On Tuesday, I believe it was November 22nd, before the ceasefire. So it would have been November 20th, I believe it was a Tuesday. When we were on Mount Zion, you can see I did a small short clip on that. All right, and the solar eclipse is God judges the nations. So God is bringing them in. God judges the nations. And on that day, November, I'm going to get the exact day because I feel it's important. Yes, it was November 20th. We were in Jerusalem on Mount Zion in the city of David, right next to the Kidron Valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, which has happened, I will also gather all the nations." And indeed they are gathering, just as we saw on November 29th, the nations gathered in the United Nations to rescind, to put in a decree that Palestine will become, have a non-member nation status. But, you know, the thing is the Arabs already had it. They had the Transjordan. It's Jordan. But how quickly, you know, the enemy twists and deceives the truth and the treaties, annulling the treaties, overturning the prior works. 63 years ago, on that date, they had it done on that date, and they've divided God's nation, Israel, into Gaza and the West Bank, Hamas and the Fatah. The Fatah are probably out of the picture now. Hamas will move into ascendancy. But the nations have come against them, and God's going to bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. When the sirens went off, the 20th, and we were in the city of David, and the bombs went off, and we were an eye shot of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That was the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. That happened yesterday. Today's November 30th, November 29th, 2012, the United Nations, by a vote of, I believe, 138 countries out of 190, whatever, 40 abstained, 41 abstained, and 9 were for, against. Okay, so if you abstain, if you're neutral, that's what you are. You're neutered. So, therefore, I believe probably only 9 nations will be reprieved from the judgment that God is about to enter into against the nations because they have divided up my land. They have divided up Israel. Get out the list. Here it comes. Here comes the judge. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Philistia? Okay, Tyre and Sidon is Lebanon, and the coast of Philistia is Gaza. Will you retaliate against me? This is what God is saying. But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possessions. Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the Greeks that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place which you have sold them, and will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. And believe me, they are. Wake up, the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let me tell you something that at the Holocaust Museum and at the United Nations, there's a stepway that goes down in New York, and then there's this huge wall that has beat your swords into plowshares. But that is the exact opposite of what the scripture says is going to happen prophetically before the great day of the Lord, the return of the Lord. That says the nations are reversing and coming in counter opposition to the actual prophetic decrees written in the Holy Scriptures. They're saying, oh, beat your swords into plowshares. Let's make peace at any price, at any cost. In fact, so much so that in the previous verses that we just read, they are retaliating against God. They have divided up his lands, and they have retaliated against God. And you're pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Okay, very specific. Not all the new nations, even though all the nations have come against him, have retaliated against God. But the surrounding nations are going to be judged and come into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the wine press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. This is the decree of the prophetic voice of God. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision, the sun and the moon will grow dark, and their stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord will also roar from Zion and utter his voice from Yerushalayim. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens. Hello, are we talking demonic presence here? Aliens? No foreigners, no aliens, those who do not belong there, shall ever pass through her again. I love this part about the pillars of smoke. This was the operation that happened. The nations have come up, and now the surrounding nations are amassing themselves around Jerusalem, and the sun and the moon, right before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Are we coming? Yes, we are coming into the great and terrible day of the Lord. Without a doubt, this is that which Joel has spoken of. I would like to go to the passage in Zechariah 12, which is in the process of being fulfilled. The coming deliverance of Judah, Zechariah 12, 1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Yerushalayim a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Yerushalayim a very heavy stone for all peoples, not just those surrounding, the surrounding peoples, but all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. Though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now it is my humble opinion that when you voted for the Palestinian non-state that you have divided, the Palestinians see the UN resolution as a victory over Zionism, and it is the next step. They do intend to take over the entire land. That is their agenda. 138 nations, 41 abstained. They're in the same category. 9 were against it. In that day, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now this will be Jerusalem. So far they just divided up the land in Israel, as it says in Joel 3. But it will be Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is still not acknowledged as the capital of Israel. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. And in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the wood pile. It's going to get really hot. They're going to be roasted. And like a fiery torch in the sheaves, they shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand, on the left. Now that would be Gaza, the West Bank, on the right and the left, depending upon how you stand in Jerusalem, but generally. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Yerushalayim. This is coming up. This is an upcoming event. The Lord will save. Now, I want to just preface this. Let's stop. This is verse 7 right here. And just go over a dialogue that I was having with some friends while on Mount Zion in the city of David last Tuesday. And we began to discuss Zechariah being fulfilled and all the prophecies that were coming to pass and about the two witnesses. And after we deal with this passage, I plan to go to, I believe it's Revelation 11 on the two witnesses. I said, you know, the thing about prophecy is that unless or God, the Spirit of God reveals the application or the fulfillment of it, you won't see it. Unless Jesus unveils himself to you, you won't see it. You can't. It is given by the Spirit of the Holy God. Case in point, when the disciples were walking along the Emmaus Road and another came and walked along them, and he asked them what they were talking about, and they said, haven't you heard all the events that happened in Jerusalem, how this Jesus of Nazareth, and on and on and on and on, and they invited him, they were telling him all this, invited him to come to their house, and they sat down to break bread with him, and it was Jesus, and their eyes were opened, and they saw it was Jesus. He had been walking along them for a long ways, with them for a long ways. They did not recognize he. They did not recognize Yeshua, him, until he opened their eyes and they could see who it is. Spiritual things come by spiritual revelation. I believe that there are prophecies that are being fulfilled now, that unless you are submitted and obedient and you understand them, unless by the Spirit of God's revelation, you cannot understand them. That's why so many of the eschatological teachers have not had the books open to them and the scroll unsealed to them that it speaks about in Daniel. Verse 7, the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. All right, they're in Jerusalem. When you go there, if you take a map out, if you pray over it, Jerusalem is in the territory of Judah, the land inheritance. And Jerusalem is in Judah. Now, the house of David, the descendants of David, came from Bethlehem, which is in the territory of Judah, and what borders it is Benjamina. And the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. This is a cryptic phrase. I believe it's talking about the actual battle that's going to happen, that is talking up here about the governors of Judah and those in Jerusalem. See, the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength, and the Lord hosts their God. So they're working together, but it says here in verse 7, God is going to do a particular work that says the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. So this is a territorial governorship area concerning, and then a house, a particular people that are descendants out of the house of David and those of Jerusalem. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and in the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. This is a supernatural empowering by the Spirit of God. The feeble shall be like David. What did David? David had a slingshot and took out Goliath. and the house of David. So that's one. That's one. Just the feeblest among them will be that, like David, can take out giants. And the house of David, the cumulative corporate body of the house of David, shall be like God. That anointing shall come like the angel of the Lord before him. So, look, let's think about that. Therefore, the angel of the Lord before them, two angels smote Sodom and Gomorrah and took out five cities down by the Dead Sea. They're very powerful, these angels of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord went over Egypt and smote all the firstborn. The angel of the Lord is, angels of God are extremely powerful. Who is this angel of the Lord? Is this the angel in Daniel 12? Let's look at that one. Just real brief. Let's jump over to Daniel here and see. Daniel 12, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who watches over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. So Michael is the angel of the Lord. Is this the same angel? I don't know. But this is how powerful he is. He's a great prince, this particular angel of God. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, now, is this the kickoff to the time of great trouble? Where there, it says in Joel, where there will be signs in the heavens and the moon and the sun, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Now the Joel prophecy and the Zechariah prophecy are speaking of the coming deliverance. And that the angel of God, this anointing, this powerful anointing of the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord, is going to be standing up and doing battle for them. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. So I'm saying the unsealing has to come by the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand these books unless they are unsealed to you. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Do you know knowledge is doubling now every 3 months, and that it's increasing, you know, exponentially? Then I, Daniel, looked up, and there stood two others, one on the river bank and the other on the river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half a time, 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, that is broken into pieces like a mirror, all these things shall be finished. And I did not understand. I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, almost 3.5 years. Blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,330 days. 5 days, another 45-day increment. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Let's go back to, that was Daniel 12, Zechariah. Verse 9, it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. That's up in the north. That's up near Haifa, the valley of Jezreel, Megiddo, the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family, now listen carefully, by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves. Okay, now this is in Jerusalem, okay? The house of David, that whole house, and their wives by themselves. This is important. The family of the house of Natan by itself, and their wives by themselves. Family of the house of Levi by itself and their wives by themselves. The family of Shemaiah by itself and their wives by themselves. All the families that remain, every family by itself and their wives by themselves. Now notice, it says, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times their wives are by themselves. Who, when you have mourning or worshiping or feast, the only people that separate the wives from the husbands at a time of repentance or mourning or feast day are the Orthodox Jews. And these particular houses, Levi, Shimei, and Natan, David, these are all in Jerusalem. And in that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the habitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cut the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. These are talking about false prophets, false ministries, false teachers, New Age, idolaters, those who can't say they come in the name of God. It's other gods, unclean spirits, idolatry of every kind. All right, and it goes on to talk about the shepherd savior, and then in Zechariah 14, it talks about the day of the Lord when the Lord shall return and put his feet on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half towards the south. And though you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Hazael. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. The Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you on the eastern ridge. It goes all the way up to Mount Sopus. It's Revelation 19. And the Lord will come. It's prophesied by Enoch, and it's prophesied in Jude. The Lord will return with thousands and ten thousands of saints, and will come with eyes of fire and a sword coming out of his mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish, shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be a light. And in that day shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And that day shall be the Lord is one, and his name one. A lot of bad things are going to happen. The Lord's going to come. But I want to look at another one. Now that's, I'm just, you know, we just did a fast forward into Revelation 19 that corroborates that's a reflective passage of what's prophesied. I would like to look at where I believe, what we're believing. And this is per my discussion, is I've always thought, oh my gosh, I like to be around to see the two witnesses. And then I think, well, maybe I wouldn't. Because my friend said, well, you know, when the two witnesses come, it's going to be really dark and terrible on the earth. And let's just look at it, because there were a couple of things that kind of, I don't know, were dilated to me that I never saw before. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. What's that? 3.5 years. But the inside altar, the altar is set apart. and those who worship there. And to me, it always reminds me of the time before the Lord came, when the abomination that causes desolation, Antiochus Epiphanes, came in to the temple and slaughtered a pig and defiled the altar that was there. And there was a reconsecration or rededication of the altar, also known as the Feast of Lights, Hanukkah, which symbolically prophesied the miraculous coming of the light of the world. 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. All right, these guys are not coming in shiny shoes and silken suits, okay? And they're not preaching prosperity. And this is a 3.5 year time frame here, which indicates it might line up, the 42 months, the holy city is tread underfoot by the for 42 months, and they will be prophesying. God's going to give these power to these two witnesses to prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now this is interesting. I always think about this. He's going to give them power. How's this going to work? And who are these two witnesses? I mean, we've heard lots of, ideas, but this last time when I was there, I was thinking, I don't think they're like anything that we've conjectured in the prophecy forums and conferences. Look, first of all, you can't, if they're Moses and Elijah, okay, they're supernatural. But it doesn't say they're Moses and Elijah. It just says two witnesses. And if they're going to be there 1,260 days, now I'm just thinking this natural. I'm not saying this is God, okay? So just bear with me. It's just food for thought. You can only get a visa for 90 days. You might be able to get a visa for a year, or a volunteer visa, or with a minister, or whatever. Or do these two guys have, or these two witnesses? It doesn't even say they're guys. Are they Israelis? Are they someone who has citizenship that God completely raises up? And we often think that they're going to prophesy down at the Western Wall, at the Wailing Wall, the Holy Place, the Temple Mount. Well, if they do that, these two people, they're separated. Remember I said they're separated. The women are separated from the men. Maybe it's going to be a man and woman. I'm not saying it is. Customarily, my frame of thought has been, well, it's going to be two men. It's probably Moses, Elijah, because they were taken up by the Lord. I don't know. But it says, 4, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. This is a reference to the scripture in Zechariah. Zechariah 4:2. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These guys are not, fooling around. You're going to get smoked if you come against them. The breath of fire that comes out of their mouth will kill you. Are these normal men? Oh, I don't know. Who are these? Who are these? We'll just refer to them as the, quote, two witnesses. Let's go back here and look at Zechariah 4. Just out of curiosity's sake, since you are with me on this journey of I myself am reprocessing and debriefing. Zechariah 4. Now the angel talked with me and came back and wakened me as a man who's waking out of sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "Well, I'm looking. And there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel said, who talked with me, answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel you shall become as a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with the shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. The hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Forget the watcher angels. Forget the demonic watcher powers of the Hamshem, the hand of Fatim and all that stuff. God is the ultimate watcher, the overseer, the viewer, the searcher of the inward heart and parts of man. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, and what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacle of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. He said, these are the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Now, these two anointed ones, look, they're coming by the Spirit of God. And what are they saying? They shall finish off the temple, the building program, the house of the Lord, which is the people of God. It's not a bunch of stones, And they're going to smoke. And after this, Vision 5 is the flying scroll. And if you've ever heard some of the teachings of this, the flying scrolls may be missiles. All right, I'm not going to go there. Let's go back to Revelation 11. Fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. So these are the lampstands, the two olive trees and the two lampstands before the God of the whole earth. These are the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. These guys are on fire. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Nobody can touch them. They have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. And how many days do they do this? 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. The political systems of this earth, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, Mizraim, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. Let me tell you, they are going to stink by then, especially in Jerusalem. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another. And because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth, these guys are going to be hated. They're going to be killed. They're going to be so hated. As much power as they have and authority and anointing, God is going to permit them to be killed. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Is this going to be down at the Western Wall in the plaza down there at the bottom of the dome of the rock that says God has no son? That's the seat of the Antichrist taking the place of God. The Antichrist is the spirit that denies that Yeshua is the Son of God. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake. And a tenth of the city fell in the earthquake. 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second war is past. Behold, the third war is coming quickly. Well, by reading these passages, I probably opened it up to see that there's a lot more to be seen in these than we had thought before, than we have understood. And we will not, as like when Jesus came, And he said, you know, the rabbis, they knew all the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. They knew the Torah. They knew the Word of God. Yet the Word made flesh, the Torah made flesh, came, and they did not recognize him. They hated him without cause. They did not know him. All right. This is the last from the series of the fall, Israeli Fall 2012. From now on, I'm going to be posting up news briefs and interpretations. You know, I'm going back to my regular venue on prophecies and teachings, but as far as like an update for what's happening on the temporal realm, we'll go to the contact page, and I will begin to post up there as I feel its contact with the God of heaven, with the supernatural, with his word. And I will move this this format that's been developed over to there. God bless you and keep you. Let Yeshua be your vision. Let the light of the world come in. Let your lamp be filled with oil, and be watching and praying for his coming. Stand and see, your salvation is drawing nigh. God bless you.